So, okay. So this is kind of cool because being we do this pastoral team thing, we never get to preach right in like from where we left off last time. And last time we've been going through Matthew, and last time I preached, I finished Matthew 5 in verse 48. And then Palm Sunday came, and then Easter came. So now we're back at Matthew 6, right where I left off. And it's pretty cool. And we know that there are no like chapters in the Bible. It's one big long story. So this is just a continuation of Matthew 5. So as I was preparing, I look back to Matthew 5 and I'm like, just to kind of get right where we were. And I noticed that the scripture that I ended on was Matthew 5 verse 48. And it said, "Be ye perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's the end of Matthew 5. Does anybody know what it said? So this is Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Does anyone know how Luke transcribed what he heard Jesus say? "Be ye merciful, as your heavenly Father is merciful." And then Matthew 6 goes into talking about the poor. And I was like, oh, do you think there's a connection between Jesus saying be perfect and be merciful? And I think they're connected. Matthew 6, 19, 16 says, "And behold a man," this is the rich young man, "behold a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?'" So put yourself in their shoes. You know, these are people that from a young age, they've been following the law. They've been trying to do what they needed to do so they could get eternal life. See, the law of Moses turned into a, what do I need to do? And then when they finally did it, then it turned into, look at me, look what I can do. I did it. It was all a me for salvation. And we know that doesn't work. Verse 17 says, Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good, and it ain't you." I added that. And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I'm your guy. I've done it all. Is there anything else?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess." So this is a man that has a lot of money. And Jesus says, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Have mercy." If you want to be perfect, be merciful to the poor. "And then you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And it wasn't because, oh man, I've got so much, it's going to take me a few days to sell all this stuff. It was a, shoot, I've got too much. I'm not willing to give it up for the King of Kings. And sometimes we have things that we're not willing to give up for the perfect plan that God has for us. Our memory verse for this week is Luke 6, 38. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." It's going to be in abundance. You're not going to be able to contain it. You're going to have to give it away just because you've got so much. With this measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. See, I think that we're all supposed to give much, give freely, give often, give to everybody, not because of them, but because of Him. Amen? That's how the Father is going to show people that He loves them. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for calling us to walk out what you have for us, God. I just pray that you would show us as we dig deep into your word, that you would show us what you want for us, what you want from us. God, I just thank you for partnering with us. And I just pray for boldness to do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. So the more I study scriptures, the more I really think that we're supposed to be like Jesus. Just like him, like imitators. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his body to lead the lost to him. And then he takes the lost and he says, come on, let me show you my Father. And then the relationship with the Father is restored. He wants us to walk. And Jesus walked in a way that showed everyone that he loved the poor. Do you know how many verses there are in the Bible that relate to the poor or poor?
A lot.
A lot. There are over 2,000. And get ready, because we're going to read them all. No, we're not going to read them all, but we're going to read a lot of them, because I want you to get a sense of he's not kidding, and there's so many blessings that come along with giving to the poor. You're probably going to hear the one that Precious jumped the gun on. So, Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. I don't care who you lend to. If you have an option of them repaying you or the Lord repaying you, you want the Lord to repay you every single time. And his word says, when you lend to the poor, God himself will repay you. Whoever oppresses a poor man in insult, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. I will tell you, I have insulted the poor when I see them at Walmart trying to get money. You know, the thoughts go through my brain. You know, if you just give up meth, you probably wouldn't have to be here. That insults God.
Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 28:27, whoever gives the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse.
Like when I read these and in like all of these together, it's like, holy cow, he's pretty serious about the poor. Like, you either show them favor or you are asking for a curse. Luckily, Jesus says, he put himself on the cross and he took the curses from us. But we don't want to call curses, right?
Proverbs 14:21 says, whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Proverbs 21:13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered.
If you close your ears to the cries of the poor, it says you're going to call out and you're not going to hear anything in return.
Deuteronomy 15:7-8, if among you one of your brothers and brothers should become poor, if any of your towns within your land that your Lord your God is giving you,
who gave you everything? It says your land that the Lord gave you. It's not even yours to start with.
You shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus.
I think that's very interesting. That it doesn't say all these things that I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must show the poor that they just need to work harder. It says, you, by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. We are blessed to be able to work to help.
I remember the words of the Lord, how he has himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. James 1:27, you want to know what pure religion is? Pure religion, pure, undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Some of these really are like, Matthew 5:42, give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow. Psalm 35:10, all my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him.
See how good Connor does when I actually give him the verses? Like, he's right there.
Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together.
The Lord is the maker of them all. Just like in Matthew 5, when it says that God causes the rain to come down on the just and the unjust. The sun comes up on the righteous and the unrighteous. The Lord is the maker of them all. God has made them in his image, not for us to belittle.
Psalm 34:6 says, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Proverbs 22:16, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or give to the rich will only come to poverty.
We've only got about 1960 left, guys. Stay with me.
Leviticus 19:9 through 10 says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap from your your field right up to the edge. Neither shall you gather all the gleanings from the harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare.
You want to leave some for the poor. God is saying, this is how you take your harvest. Always leave some for those that are less fortunate. And then they would come and they would have stuff to eat.
Leviticus 25:35, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner. Sojourner is an immigrant.
It says, if your brother becomes poor, don't leave him. Treat him just as well as you treat the immigrants. He wasn't talking to Americans. Guaranteed.
1 John 3:17 through 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brothers in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth.
It does no good to just talk about how you're going to do for someone. You actually have to take God's hands, take Jesus' feet, walk over and give them what God gave you in the first place.
Hebrews 13:16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Deuteronomy 15:10 through 11 says, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake.
Do you want to be blessed in everything you do? Do you want to know that you can walk with confidence knowing that whatever I touch is going to turn to gold? Because God's going to bless you.
For there will never cease to be the poor among the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, and to the poor in your land. Proverbs 17:5 says, whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad in calamity will not go unpunished. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it would be measured back to you. That was our memory verse. Luke 3:11, and he answered them, whoever has two tunics to share is to share it with him who has none.
Whoever has food, do ye likewise.
Jesus looked up and saw, Luke 21:1 through 4, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, the poor woman has put in more than all of them. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything she had to live on. C.S. Lewis said, give more than you can spare.
Give more than you can spare. Because you know what happens when we give more than we can spare? We have to rely on God. And it puts us in a position where we're like, okay, it's all you. It's no longer about us. It's about him. And when he says he's going to do something, I promise you, he always comes through.
Deuteronomy 15:10, you shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all of your work and all that you undertake. I think I did that one twice. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom, she and her daughters.
Anyone mention, what is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? What do we all, everyone says, real fast, what is it? Say it again. Sexual immorality? Homosexuality?
Ezekiel says, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride. excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy. See, the church, we want to say, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is you heathens. You're out there whoring it up in the world, sexual immorality. But the church, to the church, says it was pride, excess food. Anyone have excess food? Prosperous ease. Did not lend to the poor and the needy. I've read this over and over. And when I read it this time, I was like, oh, shoot, dog. That's like that. Isaiah 58, 62. It's easy. It's really easy to tell people what they're doing wrong when you're not doing what they're doing. Right? It's really easy to tell the world, y'all got to be more like Jesus. If we would just worry about ourselves, and if we were more like Jesus, the world would see us, and they'd see Jesus, and they would want to know him. Isaiah 58, 6 through 7. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? How many times have you driven by Walmart and seen them out there panhandling and said, wow, he wants a nickel. How about I just bring him home? Share my food, share my bed. I've never done it. Just so you know, that's not true. I've thought it, which is probably a first step. When you see them naked, cover them not. Don't hide yourself from their own flesh. Proverbs 31:20, this is about, you know, women. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Luke 14, 12 through 14 says, he said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they invite you in return and then you repay. He's saying, don't invite people because you know they're going to invite you back, right? He's saying, don't invite your rich friends just to show them what you're doing and then they're going to reciprocate it. He says, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and then you will be blessed because they can't repay you. If you're doing things so you get repaid, you've got all of your blessing. There are times, I mean, it is good to have a wife like Amy. She really humbles me sometimes. Whenever I come home, and sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, there was this person, and I tell her what I did, and I'm always like, another crown in heaven. And without skipping a beat, she doesn't even give me a second. She's like, and just like that, you lost it. Yes. Thanks, hon. I appreciate that. Can I have my water? So the Bible says, if you do something and then you brag about it, you just lost it all. Right?
So some of us, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a big crown with not a lot of stones in it because they got plucked out just as soon as they were put back in there.
Did God care about the poor? Yeah. I mean, that was hardly all of them. Did Jesus care about the poor? You know how Jesus began his ministry? Water into wine. Jesus began his ministry by being tempted by the devil. That wasn't his beginning. But after he was tempted, his ministry began. And here's what it says he did. This is the beginning. The Son of God, the God of the universe, came down to earth to show us what to do. And he starts his ministry in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and report about him went out throughout all the surrounding county, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place it was written. This is moments after he's tempted, and he's like, okay, I've got the Spirit with me. I am going to go conquer this world that I came to save. He goes into the synagogue, opens the scroll, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus started his ministry by saying, I'm going to go help the poor. It's good to be poor, right? So God cared about the poor, and Jesus cared about the poor. Do they still care about the poor? Do you care about the poor? I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent you to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? Say that with me. I am sent to proclaim the good news to the poor. Jesus said to the rich ruler, come, and when you're ready, you will sell it all and give to the poor, and then you will follow me. See, a lot of times we say we're Christians, which means follower of Christ or an imitator of Christ. One who follows Christ must actually do what Christ did, or you're not actually following him, right? Like, we are called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, some things I noticed in that was a lot of scriptures, y'all. Some things I noticed that were not said. Nowhere does it say that when you are rich, you'll give to the poor. It doesn't say when your annual salary is $50,000 or $75,000 or $100,000 or more, then you can give to the rich. It doesn't say when your 401k has $1 million in it, then you can start giving to the poor. It says, give to the poor. It doesn't say, as long as you know what the poor is going to do with my money, then give it to them. It says, give it, and then I'll use it. What I see here is it says that you cannot outgive our Heavenly Father. It says when you give to the poor, it's like you've given to God. And he's pleased and he rewards us with much more than we can ask or even think. But that's not what I'm preaching about. I'm in Matthew 6. That's where we're going, because we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 6 is what we're going to read now. Because I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6. Because they, from a very young age, from the beginning, from their whole lives, they knew that they had to give to the poor. And they practiced giving to the poor better than we did. Because they knew if they didn't give to the poor, they were separated from God. See, we kind of have an unfair advantage. We have Jesus. And we can have a relationship with the Father and not give to the poor because of Jesus. But he says, give to the poor. He says, do this. If you want to be like me, do this. He says, you're my hands, do this. So that's what we're going to do. Matthew 6, verse 1 through 4 says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, but that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus has come in. The whole Sermon on the Mount was kind of messing with their lifestyle, right? Like it was a small community. It was like a tiny little village, and you had these people that were just going around flaunting how they were perfect, how they were doing everything, and you should be like me. And we all know that they weren't actually perfect, right? They were just saying they were perfect, but they knew that they were trying to be perfect. Verse 1 says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, because then you'll have no reward." And it's natural to do, right? When we do something good, we want to toot our own horn, right? It's what we do. But it seems contrary to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14 that I talked about, I don't know, a month ago. It said, Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. You cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, you let your light so shine before men." Why? "So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So in Matthew 5, he's saying, you're the light. They're going to look at you, and they're going to see your good deeds. And now he's saying, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand does. And it's like, it's not about the doing. It's about your heart, right? In Matthew 5, who got the glory? They'll see your good works and they will glorify your Father in heaven. It's all about who gets the glory. And is God getting the glory, or are we getting the glory? God gets it, not about, it's about your heart and what is causing you to do what God has told you to do. Are you doing it for Him, or are you doing it so that John can see that you did it? We want Him to get the glory. Verse 2 says, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." You know what this word hypocrite means? We get the same word theater or theatrical. It means acting. Like, don't be like the actors who are saying one thing, but they're a totally different way. They're not doing it because God says to do it. They're doing it because they want people to look at them. They're putting on a mask of who they wanted people to think they were. And God doesn't care about who you pretend to be. He cares about you and who you are, not who you're pretending to be. "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, He will reward you." He is not saying don't give if somebody else is around. He's saying don't give because someone is around. We are not supposed to give just because someone is there. Like, if you find yourself giving more when you're with your friends, it's good that you give more. But you have received the entire reward that you're going to get from that giving. And it's not from God. It's from your friend saying, "Oh, wow, he gave $5. Do it for God, not for man. And when we give to the poor for God, they will see it, our friends, the people that were around. Because he didn't say, don't give if someone's around.
He said, don't give because someone's around. And if we give in the right motives and our friend sees us, they might be like, wow, that's good. God's going to get the glory. And then when we do that with the right motives, God can use it. And God can use that gift to bring about, you know, conviction. He can use us giving to the poor to bring about the poor seeing, wow, God loves me. Because the poor, they don't care who you are. They just care that their need was met, right? And a lot of times, like Precious was saying, like they need to know that they're a person. And I guarantee when Precious goes over and she says, wow, my church in America got together and gave you some food, they're going to think, wow, they know we're here. They notice us because so many people are just overlooked in this world. And they need to know that we see them because through that, they'll say, wow, God is looking out for me. God sees me. And remember, the whole Sermon on the Mount is just the people said, I can do this. I can do this. And Jesus is like, no, no, really, you can't. You can't. And they're like, no, I've never murdered anyone. Yeah, but have you thought something bad about them? I've never had an adulterous affair. Yeah, have you ever lusted after someone? And they're like, for crying out loud, I can't do this. And Jesus is like, exactly. But I'm your guy. I can do it. So some of these people that Jesus is messing with, this was their entire life. This is their entire being, who they were, who they put their worth in, who they were relying on for salvation. And Jesus is like, nope, 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 nope. You see, all too often we care more about what man thinks of us than what we care about what God thinks of us. There was a trend amongst the social media knights. Do you know who the social media knights are? They're the people who dwell in the land of social media. They're the social media knights. So they, you'll see them all over TikTok and what are the other ones? Snapchat. Instagram. Oh yeah, Instagram. That's a good one, I hear. You'll see them. They'll go up right now and they post videos of themselves giving to the needy. Look how good I am. I just gave the poor guy some money. Now, what does that do to the person who's hurting, first of all? Like, initially, they're like, okay, cool. I got $100. Because most of the time it's like, oh, here's $5,000. It's a large amount of money. But then when they realize they're just a pawn, they're just being used to boost a wealthy person. If you think you're poor, you're not poor. In order to be rich in the world, you need to own approximately $3,100. All your possessions, if you can add them up and you have about $3,000 worth of assets, you are among the wealthiest half of the world. $3,100 makes you rich. How's it feel to be rich, y'all? So why are they doing it? They're doing this just to get likes, so they can look good according to the world. But they're hurting people because they don't really care about the people, right? Let me tell you, you are called by the God of the universe to care about his people. We've made everything, it seems like, recently about us. And it's made the world a whole lot more depressed and living without a purpose. There's more depression and self-hatred now than I have ever seen in my life. Kids, for crying out loud, kids should not be depressed. Kids should not be hurting themselves. But why is it? Because we've turned everything towards ourselves. And it's not even like the kids have turned it. It's like that's all they see. Like they go to do their homework and they see these Instagram people saying, "Ah, you should be like me." The church sometimes says, "If God loves you, you'll have wealth. If God loves you, you'll never have any sickness." Now, what does that do when you get a cold and you're like, "For crying out loud, God, I thought you loved me." It's not about us, guys. But we've made everything about us. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus tells us to do. So, do you want to see God change that? It's very, very simple. If we start to make everything about Him, our perception of life, of what's important, of what we think we need to do, everything will change. And when it changes, get ready for revival, because that's what comes next. The law of Moses led to a look at me and what I am doing kind of way. But Jesus in Matthew 6 says, don't do it. He says, do it, but don't do it so that people see what you're doing. Do it because the Father says to do it. Jesus says, I will show you how to do it. And then he says, we're going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to give you the power to do it. So God says to do it. Jesus is like, let me just show you what the Father's saying to do. And then Jesus leaves and then he says, okay, now that he has told you to do it, I've shown you to do it, now we're going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you the power to be bold and do it. The power to trust and have faith and say, wow, I've got bills coming up, but I'm told to give to the poor. So here, I'm going to buy a bag of rice. And it's not too late to buy another bag of rice. $56 buys 50 pounds of rice. Why is it more to buy rice in Africa than it is here? Because I think we can get it for like 33 cents at Walmart. Do they grow rice in Africa? Corruption. Right. Corruption. The government's stealing the rice. No. So we need to always seek God's approval, not man's. And I encourage you, when you are walking through life, when you say, ah, I should do this, think, does this please God or does this please man? Because that's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 6. If your heart is to please God, then he's going to reward you so much. If your heart is to please man, well, I hope you have low expectations of what you want out of life, because you're going to get exactly what you deserve, which is not much. Your friend's saying, wow, he gave a dollar more than me, you know? And you know what happens when we do things God's way?
Good things.
Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye, blessed of my Father, you inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then the righteous answered him, saying, Lord, when did we do all that? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did I see you thirsty and give you a drink? And Jesus said, When you saw thee as a stranger and you took thee in, naked and clothed thee, or when you saw the sick person in prison and you came unto them. See, whatever you do to the least, you do it to the Father. And the king answered, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Give and let God use it to show them himself. And you know the other thing is I'm really glad that Jesus and the Father didn't give to us the way that we give to others, right? He gave us Jesus. The Father gave us Jesus. And he gave us, but it wasn't just for us, right? He didn't just give community gospel Jesus. He gave Jesus to everybody who will accept him and say, he's my king. Jesus was rich, but he became poor for me. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, but that's my blood. I worked hard for that blood. I'm going to keep it for myself. Right? Instead, he willingly laid down his life for you and for me. I'm glad that he didn't prejudge me before he hung on the cross. He certainly could have been like, nah, not for him. He might abuse it. Has anyone ever abused the gift that God has given you? Yeah. And yet we worry about giving the poor guy $5 because he might abuse it. We're whacked, guys. He certainly could have said no. And he would have been right because that's what we do over and over. We abuse it. I'm glad he didn't say they don't deserve it. But because Jesus in his love for you and me said, I'm going to give it to them. Jesus gave much. Actually, he gave everything. He gave freely. He gave often. He gave to everybody, even the undeserving and the thankless ones. He gave to those he knew would abuse it. He even gave everything he had to the very ones he knew would betray him and throw him up there on that cross. He gave, and he wants you to give. And God, I mean, I mentioned tithing. God, Jesus, the church, they don't want your money. They want your heart. Jesus wants to change your heart from the inside. They want you to be like Jesus. And Jesus wants that so much. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Here, just take it. Yours is corrupt. Yours is bad. Yours is ugly. Mine is good. You want to be like me? Here, have my heart. And when we become followers, we actually have that new heart. And that's going to bring you true happiness. That's going to bring you fulfillment. You're not going to walk through life saying, I just don't know what I'm here for. You're going to be like, I'm created by the God of the universe for a purpose. Let me at him. Amen? God, I thank you for the call that you've given to each and every one of us to be more like you, to show the poor your love, to give when it hurts, knowing that you have way more in store for us, that you're going to be the one that repays up. God, I pray that you would clean our hearts as we take the heart that you've given us
when our old man says, no, 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 that doesn't make sense, don't do it, we realize we actually have your heart who wants to do it, God. I pray for opportunity to bless the poor, to show them that you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.